All right, well, you can open your Bibles to Matthew 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Pinch those two areas together. I can't get away from you are the light of the world. We know that about Jesus. He is the light of the world. Yet, a little over a year ago, I guess a year and a half ago now, the Lord started this off in Ephesians with that verse that says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light." And all of a sudden now, he's bringing verses to light, no pun intended, that I've never really taught on before. Or at least if I have, it's been very, very limited. And we're going to look at one of those passages tonight. And I'll go ahead and tell you the question again in case you might want to write this down. If he asked me this question, it's probably a good question for a lot of folks. But it's been a little while formulating in me. I didn't get it real clear till this last week. Here's the question. He's asking me personally. How much of the New Testament do you consider to be Old Covenant? And I went, "Now, what would you like to say?" "Like what?" I didn't, right off, I didn't know. I was going, "Well, I don't think any of it, you know." He says, "Well, you never teach on those passages. You act like they're not in the New Testament." He says, "You know, Paul said that I brought you the full counsel of God." And he says, "Can you say that?" And I went, "Why?" We're going to look at another one tonight. I don't know that I've ever really looked at this one or ministered on it very much. And I think the reason why, it's not just me, I think the whole, can I say, modern day spirit-filled church, there was kind of a rebellion. When the gifts began breaking back out, there was kind of a rebellion against what many considered to be the old-fashioned holiness type movement. Even though those people love God, they serve God, but it was the kind of holiness that was from the outside in. It was very legalistic, you know. "Well, you can't wear earrings, ladies." And what would they say about the men today? I mean, you know, but even the ladies, "You can't wear makeup. You can't, you know, you got to have your hair up in a bun." And it was all, you know, this and that and rules and regulations. But right at the same time, a lot of those same folks just gossip, you know, and have a tongue and reach to the back bedroom and talk about people. And, you know, you could tell it was just, you know, they were trying, but it was kind of a man's idea of what holiness should be without really the life or the Spirit of God in it, see. But there is really a holiness. You know, our Bible does say, "Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." There is a holiness that comes from the inside out. And Jesus does say about us, believers, disciples, not only is he the light of the world, look here in Matthew 5:15. Or let me back up to 14, I guess. He says, this is red letters, Jesus talking to us. And he says, "You are the light of the world. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick." In other words, well, and he gives light unto all that are in the house. You know, the Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Mark 4 is really talking about being born again, lighting that candle. Well, here he's basically, you know, this is before the new birth, but he's talking about it ahead of time. He's saying, you know, God's not going to light your candle for you to hide that light in the darkness. He intends to make new creatures, I'm extrapolating what we know from the New Testament. But the purpose, he's going to light that spirit of man. It's going to go from darkness to light, but boy, he intends for you to let it shine. Because the whole world's in darkness. And the only way they can come to the light, they've got to be able to see the light. And if we don't let our light shine, how is Jesus going to shine to them? So in other words, I'm not lighting your candle for you to hide it. You go, first off, you go, "Well, why would I want to hide it?" Oh, that's real easy. Just back up a few verses. He'll tell you why you want to hide it. How about verse 10? "Blessed are they which are persecuted for what sake? They let their light shine." They're not acting like the world. The world can see a difference. They're not, in Ephesians, I believe it says somewhere, it says, They consider it strange that you don't run to the same measure of riot with them, King James, for you're not partying and doping with them. And they think you're strange and weird. You know, what's wrong with you? But eventually, see, if they're wanting to escape the darkness, they're going to run to the light, or they're going to look to somebody who's letting their light shine. Now, the world is not going to love you all the time. Did they love Jesus all the time? No, especially religion. So, well, why would I want to keep my light under a bushel? Well, avoid the persecution. So, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, notice falsely, for my sake. Rejoice. Why are you rejoicing today? Everybody's talking ugly about me. They're calling me everything but a good person. They say I'm a hater and a bigot. And it's all false, and I'm doing it all for Jesus' sake because I'm letting my light shine. Why did you tell them? I told them that certain lifestyle was wrong. I told them getting drunk all the time was wrong. I told them I wouldn't go to their cocaine party with them. And I said, it's wrong. I said, fornicating is wrong. And they got upset. Now, I read another verse today. It says, now, you don't get any blessing if you're having trouble for your own faults. What I mean, and I use this example. I'm telling you, I'm being persecuted. You are? They fired me off my job. And all I did was come in late 1 hour every day. See, there's no reward for that. That's not the kind of persecution we're talking about. Or here's another one, you know. Well, this city is persecuting me. They fined me $300. Well, what was you doing? I was doing 70 in a 35-mile zone. You're lucky you didn't go to jail. You know, what do you mean persecution? That's different. See, that's not the same here. We're talking about letting your light shine and not doing anything really wrong. And then getting persecuted for it. He says, rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now here's some meditation food for you, verse 16. I'll let you meditate on this on your own time. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How are you supposed to let your light shine? By your good works, and apparently men are supposed to see it. However, that sounds really simple. Come right on down to verse chapter 6, verse 1. Now up there he said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Right down here, chapter 6, verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Now what? Up here, he says, let your light shine that they may see your good works. Do it before men, in other words. They're supposed to see it. Well, but down here, he's not talking about your giving. He's not talking about blowing a trumpet like the way Dave did at that time. What's going on? I'm about to give to the poor. Everybody come watch me. In other words, if nobody's watching, there's no reason to give. See, if that's your heart motivation, to be exalted in the eyes of men, that's where it's all wrong. Everything we do is to please the Lord. See, glorify Him. Those are the works. Well, we'll get into that more. But you'll find here in chapter 6, the works that you don't do before men, giving, praying, and fasting. Your people kind of applaud you for that, really. You know? Meditation food. Y'all work on that yourself. It's a long time on that one. Well, today we went to other scriptures and looked at the light and how we're supposed to expose really the darkness. See, somebody says accurately, you cannot make darkness light. It is darkness. But it's also true, darkness can't stay where light is. You can have a completely pitch black room where you can't see your finger in front of your nose, and you can take just the tiniest, like a Bic lighter, you can just take the tiniest, a candle. And I mean, to some degree, darkness had to flee. And the more you turn up the light, the more the darkness has to flee, and guess what? It doesn't even have any resistance power. Do you ever notice that? You have been given authority over darkness. How do you do it? Shine, you little light. Shine. That's how you have authority over it. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The thing about 1 Corinthians, what did Paul say about this letter? I'd like to give you meat, but I can't because you're babies. All I can do is give you milk. What's scary is some of the stuff that's in here that Paul calls milk would split and divide a lot of churches. We're just going to look at one tiny little part, chapter 6, and the whole thing is talking about... Yes, sir. So I don't bore you, so you understand what we're talking about. Verse 12 is the one we're after. And we're going to back up and look at the whole chapter. Notice verse 12. All things are lawful unto me. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. We read last week about the elements are going to be consumed, even the rocks, even the very elements of the earth are going to be consumed by fire with a loud noise in that last day. Nothing physical is going to remain. Nothing. Nothing. Don't worry about me. If you want to be cremated, I don't think it really matters. Ask the sailors who have become shark poop. Doesn't matter. What matters is, are you born again? Okay. Dave cured me from that fear a long time ago. The belly is for meats and the meat for bellies, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. Get this. What is your body for? What does it say in your Bible? See, if we ever start getting that concept, that he has no body on earth but ours. Our body is for him. That's why we keep talking so much about the mind of Christ and getting his mind and getting direction from him. He has things to do. He has things he wants to do on the earth. And let's just take simple things first. Let's not even talk about miracles yet. Let's just talk about, you know, God doesn't like it when little babies go to bed hungry at night. I'm telling you right now, he don't like that. Not in any country at any time, nowhere. He don't like it. Well, let's just say in the area where you live, those listening by whatever method, you know, where you live, there's hungry babies going to bed at night. He's trying to find somebody who will listen to him and catch a vision, you know, understand what he's after. And he'd go, they're in prayer. And he goes, well, you mean you want me to actually take food over there? Take it for the hungry babies? Yes. But I was going to go to the concert tonight. Well, he'll never, or whatever. I'm just trying to think of something. You're busy. Well, he'll never override you. You can do what you want, really. But he'll keep looking. Because the body is for the Lord. This physical body that we got, and rather than us running around all the time trying to entertain it and appease it and do whatever, clothe it, and I don't know. Thank God we wash it. Hallelujah for that. I'm glad. Deodorant is of God. Hallelujah. Got to have some fun. But can you see, the body is for the Lord. Well, let's back up here. We could just start right there and preach, but I'm telling you what'll set you free is if you back up and see what he's really talking about here. Would you believe it's the same chapter where he talks about lawsuits? What? And then he gets into the body being for the Lord? Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? know you not that we shall judge angels? I remember the first time I ever read that, I went, no, I didn't know that. I still don't know much about that. But it says it right there, know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If you then have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so? Now, what they're really... Okay, just to this point, what he's talking about is Christians going to a secular court to have some kind of dispute settled. Now, not something where they force you. A lot of times they force you into court. Okay, you don't. But I'm talking about, okay, you put your fence line 6 inches over on my property, and if you're not going to move it, I'm going to take you to court. He said, well, I'm not going to move it. And he says, all right, we're going to court. Okay, that kind of a thing. All right? And it's Christian against Christian. We're not even talking about the heathen here. Christian against a brother. You're going to law with a brother, and you're going in a secular court. Okay? I speak to your shame. Is it not so that there's not a wise man among you? No, no one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers? Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Now, here's a good question. Here's meditation food. Well, why do you not rather just take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? So quiet, nobody's saying anything. See, we've had this teaching pretty good when it comes to... Dave has taught us eloquently out of Luke 6, and we could other passages, Matthew 5, when you're being persecuted and they're slapping you and taking away your goods and doing all of these terrible things. What are we supposed to do? Love your enemies, pray for them, do good to them, all of those things. But say, oh, that's okay, though, to sue my brother? He says, the same God that says, if you extend my mercy to the sinner, I'll speak to the other men. Yeah, they may walk off with your money, but I'll speak to the hearts of other men, and they'll give unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You think he'll do that for you for extending his mercy to the sinner, and he won't do it for you extending that mercy to an offended brother? Who is your source? The answer to the question is, why do you not rather take the wrong? You don't see God as your source. You don't think he'll replace it. You think your stuff is more important than that person. This is milk. It's milk. Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? I want my stuff. I want to be proved I'm right. It says, no, you do wrong and defraud in that your brethren. Now here is where these are passages I don't teach much on. They're not popular. See, what everybody wants right now seems like books keep being written. See, I know we're saved by grace and that not of ourselves. It is through grace, by faith, that not of ourselves. I know I didn't earn anything. But I also know the way it's being taught right now is like it doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you do. It's like you can just live any old way you want to, and you'll be okay. I can't find that in my Bible. I can't find it. It's like, out of gratitude for what he's done for me, I am at least supposed to try. Now, I may stumble and fall and trip 1,000 times along the way, but he'll pick me back up. But he does want my efforts. It's the way I see it now. And the reason I say that, see, this morning I read, you don't have to turn to it, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, these things, he's talking about what are you going to eat, what are you going to wear, how are you going to live, all of the things that the whole world is killing each other for, trying to have, and the stress, and how are we going to pay our bills, and how are we going to, what kind of job, and all of that stuff. He says, if you'll just put the kingdom first, If you'll put the kingdom first and seek the kingdom and my righteousness, you know, all those things will be added to you. And I think, what a stress-free life that is. Where every day you get up in the morning and the first thought, your first time is with Jesus and prayer and God the Father and the Holy Ghost. And all during the day, then, you know, I mean, you spend time in worship and in His Word and you hear from Him. You actually hear from Him. Then all during the day, it's you and Jesus going about kingdom business. And I'm not talking about ministry. I'm talking about you're on an assembly line putting widgets in a hole. And you're singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And glory to God, we're doing a good job today. Jesus, look at this, you know. And He'll open up opportunities, though, for kingdom business. Is that okay? Kingdom opportunities. You never know what it's going to be. You might be praying for the person next to you. You may get a chance to witness. You may get a chance to give money. That's a ministry. See? But all the time, as you're seeking Him first and singing, making melody in your heart, it doesn't matter what your day is. It doesn't matter what's going on. You could be doing that in prison and have a wonderful day. The guy who wrote Tortured for Christ, he says plainly, and he's got a lot of books. He's gone on to be with glory now, but he spent something like 15 years in a Romanian prison for his witness for Christ. He says those were the best 15 years of his life. He said, I never met more happy, overcoming, vibrant, alive Christians as I did during that 15 years inside the prison. Why? They were about kingdom business every day. They had nothing in the natural, nothing, not even enough food to eat. You ought to see he testified before Congress. I've seen the pictures where he took his shirt off and showed all of the tortures that they did to him through his, take a hot iron and run it right through his body, but missing the vital organs. Come in through one side, go out on the other side, trying to get him to recant his belief in Jesus. I mean, just amazing what this man, and he says, those were the best days of my life. We don't know what kingdom living really is yet. We're learning, see. All right. Now, I don't find anywhere that you have to be in prison to have a great day. Okay. But the idea is to, it's that kingdom life. It's that fellowship with Him. It's the whole day is seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness. Well, in that mindset right there, that seek, boy, my whole day is about the kingdom. Man, this is great. Look what he says right here in the same passage, 1 Corinthians 6, where he's been talking about defrauding your brethren. Now look at verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? What did he say in Matthew 6? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Right here he says, now the unrighteous, they're not going to inherit that. Well, what do you mean by unrighteous? It's like Jane, see the ball. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Do y'all know what that is? You look it up for your own self. Look it up in the Greek. It's real plain. How about the next one? Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Just turn to Romans 1 and read it, and you'll understand what that is. Nor thieves, nor covetous. What is that? Greedy. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now I hear these things all the time. I'm reading a book right now that it's a mixture, people. You got to be careful of the mixture. It's like 90% good ground beef and 10% strychnine, but it'll kill you. I'm warning you. That's how you can't get a dog to eat strychnine. You try it. You can't get him to eat it. He won't eat it. You put that 10% strychnine in a pound of hamburger, he'll eat that thing and die. And that's what's happening to Christians. Now, here's the phrase they normally use. When the Father looks at you, He looks at you and what He sees is Jesus. There is some truth to that. There is also truth to this. If you're an extortioner, if you're a fornicator, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Somebody drop a pen right here. Can you hear a leaf rustle? This isn't being... nobody's teaching this. Now, see, the thing of it is, under the old covenant, you know, if you did those things, you'd offer a sheep. And God knew that you couldn't not do it, okay? You could try. Some of them did pretty good. Joseph did pretty good. You know, Joseph, I can't find where that guy ever sinned. He must have, but, I mean, what's recorded for us, I can't find it. If he did anything wrong, it was telling his brothers about the vision. Sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut. But the word doesn't say he sinned by doing that or anything. Well, what do we do under the? You know, if you do any of these, now see what it's talking about. It's not saying nobody who ever fornicated, nobody who ever. What it's saying is you can't live like this all the time and think you're living a kingdom life. Now, you know, that's what the blood is there for. You don't go kill a sheep. You go back to 1 John 1:9. If you mess up, if you do any of these things, it doesn't mean you're hell-bound. But you can't live an unrepentant lifestyle day in, day out, fornicating and idolatrating and adulterating and effeminating. And all of that stuff. And tell me you're having a kingdom life. Now, right on the other hand, okay, that doesn't mention smoking, but it probably could have been put in there. There are such things as addictions that takes a while to get. Dave, I love the way Dave said it. He says, God will walk through hell with you no matter what it is you're dealing with. As long as you don't start justifying it, and as long as you don't start saying, well, it's just that's I can't change, that's the way it's always going to be, and give up. No. You may hate that thing that you're doing. It could be anything now, and okay? And I'll just tell you, the days are sure evil. Our generation is faced with more. You can't watch commercials on TV without feeling like you got to repent. You know, I'll be watching something on the Family Channel, and here comes an underwear commercial. I go, oh, God, I think I've sinned. You know, I feel dirty all of a sudden. I've got to repent. I mean, the age we live in is evil. It is. I mean, your temptation is on every corner. God will, but no matter what it is you're dealing with, people deal with all kinds of things. We're not talking about that. Romans 6. Hold your place here. Go to Romans 6. This is the attitude you can't see. They accused Paul when he'd preach grace. They'd accuse him of preaching, well, okay, if it's all by grace, then we can just continue to sin. Is that right, Brother Paul? Is that what you're preaching? We can just continue to sin and live any way we want to. Is that right? You can just hear them, you know. Well, Romans 6. Well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, we could go on and on here, but he's saying, no, God didn't save us so that we could just continue to live in sin. You know, oh good, when he looks at me, he sees Jesus, so I can just fornicate all I want to. That's not the kind of heart that he's looking for, and that's really not what he did for us. See, if that's really the attitude of heart, we might think about getting saved. Something's wrong at the core. Something's wrong. You know, you may have joined the church, I'm not sure yet you've been born again. Because with that nature comes a hatred. Well, not necessarily a hatred. I wish it was. Well, really it is. At your core, it really is. It's because the new nature hates iniquity. Okay? That doesn't mean your soul does. Soul has to be trained to hate it. Y'all like homework? Say yes. 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 I love an honest person. I love an honest... Yes. Go through Proverbs sometime, and everywhere that it talks about disciplining children or raising up children, everywhere it says child, for your own study time, write it out and put in the word soul. Your soul is like an unruly child. It doesn't want to be told what to do. It sure hates discipline. It wants what it wants when it wants it. It don't care what anybody wants. It's the undisciplined child. There is a wealth of wisdom for you if you'll ever make that bridge. It's not just how to raise a child. It's how to train your own soul. It's how to train your soul. And they don't like it. Don't like it. Wah! Don't spare, for it's much crying. Remember the time that God had me fast 40 days off of meat. My soul did not like that. It went off. You know, I have trained my taste buds to like beef and ham and chicken and all kinds of meat. I like cheese and all that stuff, you know. And God said, I want you to go 40 days without any meat. I did not like that at all. But at the end of that, my soul developed. I remember that, you know, about a week later, I come to Sue and I said, she'd been helping me making, you know, she did her best to help me through the whole thing, making the good tasting casseroles and everything, you know. So about a week after, I said, Sue, baby, would you mind fixing me one of those broccoli casseroles? She literally went, who are you and what did you do with my husband? You know, you can't be Gary. You can't be him. I don't know who you are. Get away from me. But it's a training of the soul. Well, getting back here, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 6. No, we're not to live in sin. We're not to... How is that letting your light shine? Now, y'all know in my case, it was... I smoked a total of 42 years. I've been saved 30 years. I don't know. As a Christian, I smoked for 20-some-odd years. Some of those years, preaching. Well, that's not unusual for me. I grew up where, you know, they preach. Anyway, the pastors, most of them smoke. Holiness people go, what? They just can't relate with that. You know, but they did. Anyway. And I'm sitting right here at the prayer center. David just killed me dead, you know. And he'd do Romans 6 and you're free from sin. And I barely could make it long enough through the service. You know, at first we couldn't make it. We'd sneak off down the path down here. You know, get out of sight and light up. Here we'd come back. You know, at least we didn't do it right in front of the church. We'd sneak off. But anyway. Dave says, if you are going to smoke out in front of the church, please sweep up the butts. I think that's good. I like that. That's grace. That's mercy right there, you know. Him actually let me preach, knowing that I smoked, you know. And I quit. I tried everything in the world. See, that's why I know that when we preach these things, we've got to preach them still with the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. But right at the same time, what Paul is warning them about here, that same attitude of heart that will destroy your neighbor over a small monetary item, what is it in your heart that would do that? That would love the goods and value the goods that you might get from the lawsuit more than the neighbor, which the neighbor is what's valuable to God. The same heart. See, that's why it's in the same chapter. If you're kind of away from the love of God there, and that's the same thing, it'll spill over into these kind of sins. You're not really walking very close with Him. Now you can, again, I got to go back to, I hear this pendulum swing back and forth, see, because at the same time that I say that, now in the old days they'd send you to hell for smoking. You know, they'd say, well, see there, that's it. No, you just smell like it, you know. But that doesn't help you. If you can't quit, you can't quit. But if you're on the path of doing, if you're doing everything you know to do, what do you mean by that? Well, the message of this house, the things that we were learning here, to pray and confess the word and fast and seek the Lord and listen for His voice and be obedient where we could be obedient. And eventually the day came. See, people, it's real easy to judge somebody that's smoking. It's a lot harder to judge people that gossip. You know, slander, all kinds of other things we won't get into tonight. But now, the day is coming. We're coming into a dark area nationwide. Boy, if you can't see that tide, you're blind. Okay? I mean, there is a black tide coming. Yeah. And I don't mean that. I just mean darkness. Darkness. You see it on every front, political, financial, religious, everything, everywhere you look, okay? The enemy's really making a push to stamp out genuine Christianity in this nation. If there was ever a time for the people of God to rise up and let their light shine, it is now. And the darker it gets, the brighter we have to shine. Amen? All right? If we're involved in any of these things, it's time to do what we know to do in this message and get purged of it so that we shine even more. Now, I want to connect this up, though. We've got about 5 minutes left. So let me read this wonderful passage that everybody loves and is shouting material all the time. Verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. Now, again, notice how it's worded. And in the Greek, if you study this out, you already know, this is not talking about somebody who once ever slipped and committed fornication. It fornicators. They're habitual. All of these things. This is who you are. You're a... What do you do? I fornicate. I mean, it's that kind of a thought. That's what I do. I do it all the time, you know. It's like a greedy person. A greedy person isn't normally, you know... Well, I was greedy once. You know, a greedy person is greedy, aren't they? That's what they are. That's kind of what it's saying here. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's a real polite way of saying it. Nor thieves, nor covetous. That's greedy again. Nor drunkards. Now, he doesn't say someone who has wine with dinner. I know a man, I've known him since high school. Nearly every day of his working life, he'd come home, have two beers. Never seen the guy drunk in my life. He's not a drunkard. He likes two beers when he comes home, and it helps him relax, and he watches TV. Now, see, the Bible says, don't be drunk on wine. We're in his excess. Right now I'm stepping on Pentecostal toes because they'll tell you can't even have a sip of wine. I can't find that anywhere in my Bible. It says don't be drunk on wine. That Paul even told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. You know? Anyway. So it's talking about a drunkard. Not someone who got drunk once. A drunkard. Here we go again. Nor revilers, you know what a reviler is? They're argumentative and fighting all the time, or running down other people all the time. Nor extortioners, even if they're on TV. I'm telling you, the only way you can get your... They really use the Godfather image, all right. You want protection? We'll give you protection. You pay this much a week, nothing bad's going to happen to you. But if we don't get it, bad things are coming. That's extortion. Should have had the cotton here. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You can't live like that as a lifestyle and think you're going to be living Matthew 6, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. You're outside of that. See? Verse 11, some of you, and such were some of you, you were like that, but you were washed. You are sanctified. You are justified, it is true, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now notice, verse 12. You got to connect it up with everything he's been saying. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. He says it again. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Drunkards, why do they... You might get drunk once. What makes you a drunkard? You have come under the power of the... You've now become an addicted person. And I'll just tell you right now why. Chemicals in the brain. You like the high. You like the feeling. That's why Gary couldn't quit the smoking. He liked the feeling. He liked the calmness, the steadiness that it brought to me. It's amazing now. I can go through more trying things now than I did then, and I never even think of it. Jesus is your peace if you'll let him be. See? But that's why I'll not be brought under the power of any. People that, well, you could take any of these. Why do people fornicate? They like the feeling, not only of the physical gratification. I'm looking around for children. Not only because of the physical gratification, but it's like, I am admired. Somebody thinks I'm hot. Somebody thinks I'm, you know, they like all that. And it feeds the soul, feeds the ego, doesn't it? You know? Some of them, it's just that conquering thing. I conquered another one. I conquered another one. And that could be male or female. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. I will not be brought under the power of any. A little wine, it's one thing. Having two beers, that's one thing. Coming to the place where you have to have it. See, I don't think a cigarette will send you to hell, but it's wrong when the cigarette has power over you. And that's where I was. I was that way for years. I couldn't be without it. Before that, it was alcohol many, many years ago. Thank God I've been free of that one a long time. But I will not be brought under the power of any. Look, let's finish this up here. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord, by the way, is for the body. You need to remember that when the enemy starts trying to attack you with sickness. Your body is important. You know, there was a heresy in the first or second century where they actually taught that everything material was evil and everything spirit was good. So if you follow that far enough, what happens then? Well, you can do anything you want with your body because it's all evil anyway. It's not, nothing. It doesn't matter. That's not what it says. The body is for the Lord, and the Lord, He is for your body. It's important to Him that you be able to go and do things and not be sick. How are you going to do ministry, you know? Okay. God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up, also will raise up us by His own power. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Now, He just couldn't say it any clearer than that. Your body, all of us collectively, are the members of Christ. He has no other body on earth but ours. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is... That's a harlot is a prostitute. Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And that's why he says here now, flee fornication. It does not say, oh, you can just continue to be a fornicator and God will look at you and see you just like Jesus. My Bible doesn't read like that. It says flee fornication, doesn't it? Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, we're coming into a time of all of this. This is one little bitty portion out of a milk letter. Okay? This one little part. In a lot of churches today, I'd already be in big trouble because they teach greasy grace to the point. It doesn't matter what you do. I'm telling you, according to the Word of God that I read, it does matter what you do. Now, God, He is not putting us back under the law. He has done for us what nobody under the law could do. They could not change their nature. He has, by grace, changed our nature, given us the ability to overcome the flesh and overcome the soul and overcome all of those tendencies. It's like a land to be possessed. The picture is the land, the promised land of the Old Testament. We can live righteous and holy, fleeing lust, fleshly lust, and live godly in this present world. Now somebody needs to hear this. Because get it straight. Quit being so hard on yourself. I'm not looking at anybody on purpose. Close your eyes. Everybody is dealing with something. Get over yourself. Quit letting the devil be so tough on you. Now yours may not be smoking. You may have something else. Maybe you got an internet finger problem. You know what I mean by that? Maybe you got a pornography problem. Maybe you've got a gossip problem. Maybe you got a I'm always worried problem. I got a gossip problem. Did I say that one already? I got a smoking problem. I got a whatever it is. Get over yourself. I don't know any perfect people. Not even Dave. We're all working on stuff. Get over yourself. Now I want you to take you back to those thrilling days of yesteryear when I had nothing but the ugly building. We had no ministry at all. Left the trucks. I had prayer time in great abundance. And I couldn't quit smoking. Had this little bitty building. I think it was 8 foot by 12 foot. That's where I'd smoke. In the wintertime, you can't leave the door open. That was not the Shekinah glory cloud that was gathering in there. I mean, you'd open that door and it just looked like the place looked like it was on fire. I'd been in there for hours, you know, a little 8 by 12 building. I'm in there loving God, praying, reading the Word. Those are the assimilation of the books days. That's what I was doing. I was in there assimilating the books and praying in other tongues. Now, I couldn't quit smoking at that moment. Did you feel bad? I felt like a sheep-eating dog all the time. Felt condemned all the time. The devil was telling me God didn't love me, and he was a liar. I thank God for Dave that kept saying, better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. I don't care what slimy rock you came out from under. Go back to prayer. And that's all I could do. I couldn't stop smoking, but I could pray. And I could keep assimilating the Word, and I could rebuke the devil. He loves me. He loves me. God loves me, you lying devil. Puff, 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 smoke, smoke. But I kept doing it, and I wouldn't settle and say, well, I'm just always going to be like this, or start telling, but it doesn't matter whether you smoke or not. I knew smoking itself is not the issue. It's being under the power of it. And I knew I could not. You can't be under the power of it. You know, food is the same way. Alcohol is the same way. Get over yourself. We're all dealing with something. It's just different things with different people. So if you can't deal with the issue, do what you can do. Can you move your lips? Shandai Bako Sande Brasto Re Kandale. Pray! Pray! Let the Holy Ghost make intercession for you according to the will of God. Let him deal with those strongholds. Meditate the Word. I want to watch movies. We'll watch a movie and then go meditate the Word. But get the Word in you. Assimilate the books. My soul would rather do anything than read Matthew another time. Oh, God. Luke has got the begats in it. Oh, not the begats. So-and-so is son of so-and-so, and I don't care who is the son of so-and-so. You assimilate it anyway. It's like, you got to, here we go back to Proverbs. You got to deal with that soul. Treat it like a little child. It wants its way. It wants to run and play all the time. It's all it wants. And entertainment. And it likes highs. And it doesn't care what kind of high. Nicotine high, adultery high, gambling high, Mr. Good Looking High, Mrs. Good Looking High, or Miss Good Looking. Anyway. That's all it wants. Sugar high, Krispy Kreme donut high. Pork chops smothered with T-bones. Whatever it is, it doesn't care. It just wants entertainment. It wants to feel good. It likes its highs. You got to treat it like a little child. The real you is not like that. You are not a fornicator. You are not at your core an adulterer, a smoker. You're not addicted to nothing. Tell somebody that. The real me.
The real me.
I ain't addicted to nothing. I like that. You can understand that talk, can't you? All right, so quit being so hard on yourself. Just do the message. You do the message. You'll be okay. He'll strengthen you. He'll build you up on your most holy faith. And the day will come, you'll deal with that thing. Hallelujah. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Glory to God.